Welcome to the Strang Report with Steve Strang on the Charisma Podcast Network. This episode was produced to discuss and address issues within our nation and around the world from a Christian worldview.
Hello and welcome to the Strang Report. I'm Steve Strang. Thank you for listening. Today, we are going to hear from a prophet named Bill Hammond, who is very well respected. He's been in the prophetic for many years. In fact, there are those who call him the father of the prophetic movement, the modern prophetic movement, that is. And we interviewed him as step one in writing a cover story about him in our January issue. We sent Taylor Berglund up to his headquarters in West Florida, and he talked about going into his office and his facilities there and his history and so forth. But this interview was our first step in that process, and much of the material was used in the article. So after this message, you're going to hear Bishop Bill Hammond, the father of the modern-day prophetic movement.
Regent University is one of the fastest-growing universities in the nation, experiencing 21% growth from summer 2016 to summer 2017. This fully accredited university offers associate, bachelor's, master's, and doctoral degrees within an innovative learning environment that includes the option of enrolling solely on campus in Virginia Beach, Virginia, 100% online, or using a blend of both. Since its establishment in 1978, Regent has equipped 23,000 alumni from 125 countries to become accomplished professionals. Guided by a mission of Christian leadership to change the world, the school prepares students with the knowledge to excel and the faith to live with purpose. To learn more or request information, visit www.learn.regent.edu. That's www.learn.regent.edu.
I'm talking to Bishop Bill Hammond, who is well known as one of the fathers, really, of the modern charismatic prophetic movement. And Bishop, you and I have talked a little bit about what's coming up in 2018. And I know you have the Lord showing you a lot of things. So just kind of share with me and my listeners and the readers of Charisma Magazine, when we put this in print in a couple of months, what you feel God is saying.
Well, I really feel for both in the spirit and in a lot of other things that 2018 is going to be a very pivotal, very transitional, and very important year. There are several things. Something in the natural indicates that, and there's some things in the spirit and things by revelation that God has shown. One thing I'd like to remind that 70 years is a key number for God. Israel went into captivity for 70 years and came back out, and there's a lot of other 70s significant to God. Well, 1948, Israel was made a state, and in 2018, it'll be exactly 70 years since they were made a state. And usually after 70 years, drastic things change, and a lot of things happen. Also, it was 1948 that the Restoration Movement came that brought the revelation that there's still apostles and prophets in the church. But it was 1988 that the prophetic movement that was birthed at Christian International that we started activating and recognizing apostles and prophets. And I started introducing people as apostles so-and-so, as prophets so-and-so, because I was determined to try to make the apostle and prophet as accepted, as received, and understood as one of the fivefold ministries, as the evangelist, pastor, and teacher. And we've been doing that, and now it's quite common around the world that apostle and prophet is pretty well accepted and received and understood somewhat as well as evangelist, pastor, and teacher. And then we just finished 50 years since the Six-Day War in 1967. 50 years was 2017, and the 50 years is very important to God. And 2017 finished the 500 years of restoration. And of course, in 2008, God told me that the third and final church reformation was activated. And really, the Saints Movement of 2017 prepared the way and activated the Third Reformation, just like the Protestant Movement with Martin Luther activated the Second Reformation in 1517. And we're in very end times, and I've been saying to the Lord, I said, well, Lord, 2008, you told me from heaven that the Third Reformation has been activated, and I'll be speaking pretty soon at the gathering of about 400 apostles, and they want me to speak on the Third and Final Church Reformation and what it's all about, and they're accepting that as now, after 10 years, that it really is the Third Reformation. And when Peter Wagner read my book on the Third Reformation, he said that after reading the scriptures and history and all the restoration, that he thought it was the best name for what had happened in 2008. So we're having a celebration on that as well. But the 500 years of restoration has been fulfilled. What the Third Reformation is to do is to take all the truths that were restored from 1517 to 2017, and there's about 9 major restoration movements took place during that time. And those major movements restored truth and ministry back into the church, that now God wants to make sure every saint is activated in a born-again experience, baptized in water, sanctified and holy, and believes in receiving divine healing and administering it, filled with the Holy Spirit, and moving in praise and worship, and now and moving into the present truth of laying on the hands, prophecy, and all that goes with that. And it was, you know, the church was birthed in 30 A.D., but it was 10 years later, at 40 A.D., that the Gentiles were brought into the church, and the revelation came that they were part of the church, same as the Jews. And so I feel 2008, the Third Reformation was birthed, but 10 years later here, 2018, we're going to see a new thrust, a new release of God's revelation, power, and demonstration of His glory like never before. There's going to be a real kingdom demonstration and activation in the seven mountains.
Well, this is exciting, and boy, you are just sharing so many things that most of us are only vaguely familiar with. You mentioned the 9 movements, and a minute ago you rattled off a bunch of things, and I wasn't able to count and take notes that fast. So were those the 9 movements, or do you care to elaborate at all?
Well, yeah. In 1500, Martin Luther was the main instrument that activated the Second Reformation. The First Reformation was when Jesus birthed the church and launched it and established it and spread it to the ends of the earth. That was the purpose of the First Reformation. The Second Reformation was to restore back into the church all truths that were lost during the thousand-year dark age of the church. Because everything was in the New Testament that was alive, active, living experience, and the church became a formal dead work formality, and it became the first doctrine of Christ is repentance from dead works. And that's what Martin Luther taught, repent from the dead works of the church, be born again, have a living experience with Jesus Christ by faith through grace. And so that began the Second Reformation and the restoration of the church. And we had the 1500, we had the Protestant movement, 1600, we had the Anabaptist movement, which became known as the Evangelical movement. Then 1700, we had the Holiness movement with John Wesley and hundreds of others. I describe this in detail in my book, The Eternal Church. And then in the 1800s, we had A.B. Simpson with the revelation of divine healing is for the human body, and divine healing was restored back into the church and paid for divine healing. Then early 1900s, we had the Pentecostal movement with speaking in other tongues. And then in 1948, we had the restoration movement called Latter Rain that taught on singing praises, took the song books out and put overhead projection. There's Praise the Lord in the dance. There's still the old Pentecostal frenzied, out-of-control dance. And then laying on the hands and prophecy and prophetic ministry and the teaching that there are still apostles and prophets in the church and many other things. Then we had during the 50s, and that re-emphasized. And then we had the deliverance evangelism movement of Oral Roberts and T.L. Osborne and William Branham, Jack Cohen, about 100 other evangelists that arose in the late 40s and early 50s. And so we had the re-emphasis on the evangelists. And then in the 60s, we had the charismatic renewal. And the Latter Rain people thought that the pastor is the sovereign head of the local church, not to be appointed by a bishop or elected by a board. And so it really gave the pastor back to his authority, his responsibility and anointing to have vision to build a church. And so the pastor was emphasized in the 60s. In the 70s, we had the faith movement. Kenneth Hagin kind of became known as the father of the faith movement, as I've become known as the father of the prophetic movement. And they got us back out of the poor man of Lyons teaching that it's the poorer you are and the more beggarly you are, the more spiritual you are, and from them. So they started teaching on prosperity, healing, and faith, and all that, and Copeland and or Roberts and many others taught on that. So I take those three movements, the faith movement, the charismatic renewal. The charismatic renewal did not restore any new truth or ministries. What it did is updated everybody from Catholicism through all the restoration movements up to 1960s. So a Catholic could be born again and then justified by faith, baptized in water by immersion, and get sanctified holy, and then be healed, and then receive the whole gift of the Holy Spirit, and be prophesied over and start worshiping God in liberty and freedom, praising God and ministering in his membership ministry, all in 1 week. He could get in, a person get in 1 week what took the Holy Ghost 500 years to restore. So that was an updating movement. And then in 1988, we had the prophetic movement, and that emphasized the office and ministry of the prophet. In 1998, we had the activation and the movement of the apostles, recognition of them. And then in 2007, we had the saints movement, and that happened here at CI, and we had Cindy Jacobs, Dutch Cheese, and Chuck Pierce, and Lou Engels was all at our meeting here, and they all witnessed that the saints movement had been birthed. I'd written a book on the Day of the Saints and declared it was going to be a Day of the Saints, would be a birthing coming someday, and it did 10 years later in 2007. And then in 2008, God spoke to me from heaven that the third and final church reformation had been decreed from heaven. And the purpose of the third reformation is to make sure every saint is activated and experientially practicing all of the doctrines and manifestations and ministries that have been restored over the last 500 years. And then they're to take that and demonstrate the kingdom of God until every nation becomes a goat or sheep nation, as Matthew 25:31 talks about. And so right now, we're in that 2008 was the birthing, but now it's 10 years later, 2018. And I really sense in 2018 there's going to be a new expansion, extension of miracles, signs, and wonders. And the prophets are going to start prophesying more specific, more area. I prophesied a lot of kings and governors and leaders of nations, but now that prophecy is going to be more revealing and more exposing. And so that's what I thought about when I talk about restoration. That's covered in most of my books, but my Eternal Church book covers it in detail.
Well, we'll look up that book. It sounds very interesting. But I want to drill down a little bit because you're talking about, you know, all these wonderful things that are being restored and so forth. The average secular person would be clueless about this entirely. And most Christians are clueless. And as we look around, it's almost like things are getting worse and worse in so many ways in our culture. Although, if I could just interject this, my book, God and Donald Trump, you know, Hillary Clinton wrote a book, What Happened, and my book answers the question, and that's basically that God intervened because there were so many people praying for God to do something to shift this. And of course, we all believe that if Hillary Clinton had gotten in, it would have gone from bad to worse. So, you know, I mean, there are even examples that I would understand of where there are some things happening. But talk to me about what this new movement and the restoration and all this that you're articulating, what does it look like? What can we look out there and see that's actually happening?
Well, one thing I feel 2018 is going to be a divine reversal. And just like Trump suddenly at the end came through victorious, I believe in 2018, God's going to turn things around. Trump's going to be vindicated in what he's doing. All of his tweets probably won't be, but his policies and what he's doing and working. And now God put him in to save America and turn us back to being a sheep nation, because Matthew 25:31 says that when Jesus comes, one of the first things he's going to do is sit on the throne of his glory and bring all nations before him and separate the goat nations from the sheep nations. And the goat nations will be cast off the earth and the hell, and the sheep nations will be allowed to continue on during the millennium on earth, according to Revelation 22:7 there. But I believe God heard the cry of Christians, and Trump was put in there to reverse America back to the foundations of Judeo-Christianity and put us back on the firm foundation and get us back, because we were teeter-tottering between goat and sheep for a while. But now I believe we're going to get back to being a sheep nation to fulfill our prophetic destiny that our forefathers prayed and agreed and decreed when they came to Jamestown and to America and all of that we fought for over the years. And so 2018 is going to be a very significant year. And I really sense and feel that Trump's agendas are going to be passed. Things are going to take place. And the devil's fighting tooth and toenail through many different ways and many different people. But God's going to triumph just like he did before when it looked like it was hopeless and helpless. For Trump to get in, God moved in at the last minute. And 2018, before the next election comes in, things are going to clear up. You're going to be justified. And people are going to see that his policies and what he's doing is really working and benefiting America. and we're going to get back on a firm foundation there as far as America goes. And the other area about the world and things, people need to know that when God told Abraham in Genesis 15, he said, you're going to possess this land, but you're just to walk and look. You walk and look, look and walk and claim the land, but you cannot possess it because he was just a family of Abraham. Sarah had died, and Isaac and Jacob, and three didn't make an army and could possess the land. And even if God cleared it out for them, they weren't enough people to keep the animals from overrunning the land and all that. So it had to be a multitude. So he said, I'm sending you to Egypt for 400 years. Then you'll come out, you'll become an army, and the army will possess the land. And then he said, there's one other reason I can't give it to you now, is because the sin of the Amorites is not yet full. And there is a teaching in the Word of God, a revelation, that sin has to become a certain amount before God's judgment comes. God came down to the pre-flood generation and said their mind was on evil continually. They was corrupt to the core. And he said, yep, I can't use them. I can't relate to them. They're worthless to me. I made man in my own image and likeness. Only one thing left to do is just wipe them out. So God just cleared out the earth and killed everything that breathed on earth except the fish which could swim in the water. And then when he came down and he told Abraham, I'll come down and check out Sodom and Gomorrah to see if their sins are as full and as much as I've been reported to him. So he went and checked it out, and sure enough, they were corrupt to the core, and God sent fire and brimstone and burned them all up. So their cup of iniquity becomes full. There's a nation can come to a place that God says, okay, you've reached that state of judgment. And that can happen in nations. Just like he had prophecies about the Babylonian Empire would eventually be wiped out and destroyed, all of that. So we're living in those times when every nation has to become a goat or sheep nation. And so, of course, it says the first thing Jesus is going to do when he comes is separate the goat nations from the sheep nations in Matthew 25:31 to the end of the chapter there. So I see 2018 is where the Holy Spirit's going to start putting pressure on nations to be righteous, and if they don't go righteous, the pressure will make them more wicked, more evil, and they'll rebel, and eventually we'll come to a World War III down the line somewhere. But we're in that state right now that God's going to do some great and mighty things. And 2018, I feel we're entering into a new phase. We're entering into a new times. It's time, and when it's time, things can happen. You know, when Jesus came, it was time, so he could be the Savior of mankind. When the times of restoration began in 1517, then the restoration has continued for 500 years. Now it's the time of the saints and the day of the church and the day of God's judgment upon the nations. And so he's raising up his prophets and apostles to prophesy and decree, and he's raising up an army of the Lord to go forth in this way. So we're in momentous days, you know. Most historians Jewish custom was that the earth would last about 6 days, 6,000 years, based on 1,000 years for each day in the creation. And so in our calendar, we're in the year 2017. Their church was birthed in 30 A.D., so in 2,000 years would be the end of the 6,000-year period. And so we are now 2017, but 30 A.D. is when it's birthed, so 2030 would be when it's finished. 2,000 years, but it's never right on the dot. It's around a 50-year cycle around 2,000 years. Because first 2,000 years was fallen humanity from Adam to Abraham. And the second 2,000 years was Abraham and the Jewish race. Then Jesus came and started a new race, new creation called the church race. And it's the sons of God, the church. And they're continuing as the mortal church for 2,000 years, and then Jesus is going to come again somewhere along in there and immortalize the church and make it the immortal church, and then they become the great hand of God and the extension of God to co-labor with him to execute his judgments upon the earth and set up new heavens and new earth.
I hope you enjoyed the podcast. I hope you enjoy the article in Charisma Magazine in our January issue. And I hope that you will tune in again for the Strang Report on the Charisma Podcast Network. Thank you for listening. I'm Steve Strang. God bless you.
Thank you for listening to the Strang Report with Steve Strang. To read more from Steve, visit his blog, The Strang Report, on charismamag.com. Again, it's The Strang Report on charismamag.com. charismapodcastnetwork.com.
This has been a production of the Charisma Podcast Network. Steve and Joyce Strang are the founders and owners of CPN. Dr. Steve Green is the executive producer of the Charisma Podcast Network. We intend to honor God with every podcast and remain thankful to our advertisers and supporters who make these podcasts possible.